Well, stop me if you've heard this before. Dr. Fauci has been caught lying once again about COVID. According to Senator Rand Paul's own investigation, Fauci's NIH lab was a partner with Wuhan to engineer a highly transmissible coronavirus back in 2018, 2 years before the so-called pandemic. But it gets even worse than that, because Senator Rand Paul joins us now to break all of this down for us. Senator, good to see you again. Welcome back here to the show.
Thanks for having me.
So you write in a new opinion piece out this week based on your investigation that you've uncovered that officials from 15 different federal agencies back in 2018 knew that the Wuhan lab was trying to create a coronavirus just like COVID-19, and they didn't warn the American people or anyone about it. They kept totally silent about it. Why didn't they say a word to anyone?
Yeah, this is, it boggles the mind, the level of potentially conspiracy or potentially cover up on this. We only know about this research proposal at all because a whistleblower who is a lieutenant colonel in the Marines who reported it to his superiors and to the inspector general and revealed this a couple of years ago, that there was a grant that the Wuhan Institute of Virology and the University of North Carolina, Dr. Barrick, and Peter Daszak at EcoHealth, they all wanted to get together and create a virus, like you said, coronavirus, with a special cleavage site to make it more infectious in humans. This is called a furin cleavage site. Doesn't exist in nature. So they wanted money from our government, the Chinese government, the Chinese lab, UNC, Peter Daszak. They wanted money from us to create this virus. Now, ultimately, the grant was turned down, but we didn't know anything about the proposal. And this was a big deal proposal, not just to DARPA. They then presented it to 15 other agencies to ask money to do this. And I was just a few minutes ago in a committee hearing with Samantha Power from USAID, and I asked her this question. And I acknowledged that in 2018, this might not have seen as much of a big deal that this grant was turned down. But come 2020, when you see the structure of the COVID-19, there should have been this aha moment. Oh, I remember 2 years ago, this Chinese lab was asking to do something very similar, and now the virus looks exactly like what they were proposing to do. The aha moment should have been by all of the members of these agencies, anybody in DARPA should have been, we need to let the president know. We need to let infectious disease, we need to let Anthony Fauci know that this happened, because now this is direct evidence that this came from the lab, that it didn't come from animals. And the big difference is about a lab-created virus versus an animal virus is lab-created viruses are pre-adapted to infect humans. Animal viruses can infect humans, but they don't do it very well because they're adapted and evolved to infect animals. And so they have to change in evolution to infect humans. Whereas a laboratory-adapted virus like COVID-19 immediately became infectious across the world in a matter of days, really.
And to roll it out and take it into some sort of open cave environment where you're going to test it on bats. And I mean, call me cynical, but I mean, I think they knew what was going to happen with this, right? I mean, it seems to me that they knew what was going to happen when you're going to roll these out in some open cave environments to test it on bats, which have the same makeup physiology as human beings.
Yeah. And the thing is about the whole idea of doing this is there's been a debate going on in the scientific community really for a decade or more between a whole group of very sincere and established scientists who believe that this kind of research is too dangerous to perform. This gain of function research really should be severely regulated and really most of the time shouldn't be acted on at all. Because you're right, what they're doing is they're going to a cave in a remote part of China, hundreds of feet underground, to try to find viruses that really don't interact with man because man's not down in the bottom of these caves. It would be one thing to investigate the people who live in the province near the cave to see if they're becoming infected with viruses. That's a reasonable sort of surveillance project. But to get the viruses deep in this remote cave, take them back to a city of 15 million, Wuhan, and then replicate the viruses and or manipulate and change the virus to see if you can make it even more infectious in humans is really something that honest, reasonable people think is crazy. And you know, Kevin Esfeldt, a professor at MIT, he says it's a risk or a gamble that civilization shouldn't be taking. He discusses it the same way he discusses nuclear weapons, that the same way we're worried about nuclear proliferation, we're worrying we have nuclear arms treaties with other countries, that we need to be treating viruses the same way we would actually treat nuclear arms negotiations.
I mean, to me, this rises to the level of, you know, we think about conspiracy theories, but to me, it's there's where there's smoke, there's fire here. And so the Department of Defense steps back from this, right? They step back from this gain of function research piece of this, but these other agencies are aware of it. And then they sort of do, the Department of Defense then gets involved sort of through a proxy, like sort of an end around, because they know right. that they could potentially use this. I mean, to most of our viewers watching right now,
and the interesting thing about this proposal, this original proposal to create this virus, not only was NIH briefed on this, not only was NIAID, Fauci's division of NIH, briefed on this, they actually were part of the initial proposal. They proposed using a lab, the Rocky Mountain Lab, which is owned by the NIAID, to be part of creating this virus. So they were a part of the proposal, not just privy to a presentation about the proposal, they actually were part of the initial proposal. Now, later on, the evidence we have doesn't show the NIH or NIAID in this, but we now know that in the initial stages, they were part of this, and we want to know who these people were. All of their names are redacted. We know that they met. We know that Peter Daszak from EcoHealth talked to 15 different agencies in a presentation. I asked Samantha Power from USAID today, will you give us the name of the person who met there so they can be interviewed? Because they might not have realized in 2018 how dangerous this was or how what was going to happen. But once the pandemic occurs and everybody sees that this virus is a coronavirus with a furin cleavage site, anybody that was privy to the knowledge that the Chinese lab wanted to create a coronavirus with a furin cleavage site should have been coming forward and they should have been sounding the alarm. Instead, it's the opposite. Everybody's very quiet. And most of these records are sealed and they will not give them to us and they're redacted. We have one 250-page document from NIH that is a briefing for Tony Fauci to know more about what all they've been doing with coronavirus. That's completely redacted, 100% redacted, and they won't give it to us.
And they won't give it to, so 15 agencies, these individuals who were there at that presentation, you through, can you subpoena this information? Are you, does is Congress going to subpoena
them
this?
All, we've sent them all letters. The only way I could subpoena them is I would have to be in the majority. So in the Senate, we're in the minority. I don't have subpoena power. Mm. We ask all the time, and we occasionally get the Democrat chairman to sign requests for records. But we have some requests for records that are over a year old that were signed by the Democrat chairman and myself as a ranking Republican and have still been ignored. So we want to know if there was a meeting to deliberate over whether this was gain of function. Anthony Fauci says, my experts have all seen this. This is not gain of function. Well, give us the deliberations of your experts. We want to see the discussion over why this wasn't gain of function. They won't give us that. And this is a resistance, I think, unparalleled. This is all not classified. This is not anything. None of this is classified. And yet we can't get the information. And then we have this resistance. I think the only way we're going to get it is with the new administration. If there were a Republican administration, I believe that we will get answers to this. But it does make a difference because, for example, in the Trump administration, the head of the FDA is a guy who's now on the board of Pfizer. And so I think he is conflicted and has a conflict of interest. We have to hope that if there is another Trump administration, that the people who will be appointed will actually be people who want sunlight and transparency and to make sure that this never happens again.
Do we know, forgive me if I missed this, but do we know the 15 agencies? Do we know the names of the 15?
Yeah, we've got a list of the 15 agencies. They include the NIH, NIAID, so that's sort of one agency or two, depending on you count it, representatives from the Army, representatives from the Navy, representatives from different labs, USAID, CDC, I mean, you name it. You name the agency, and they were probably in this meeting. And they all need to have a discussion. We need to know why they didn't come forward with this knowledge and why to this day they're still hiding and not revealing documents to us.
I mean, it seems like a much bigger plan at play here that we're not being told about, because in 2021, you'll recall the CIA, of course, released their full report saying, we don't know where COVID came from. We don't know if it came from Wuhan. We don't have any evidence of that. They released that, you know, that that big declassified report. And then last year, of course, we learned through CIA whistleblowers that the CIA tried to bribe its COVID investigative analysis analysts in order to hide their findings from the that it did leak from a lab. Well, was the CIA one of these agencies?
We've met with the, they were not listed as one of these agencies, but we've met with the whistleblower for the CIA, And in discussions with him, he tells us that the vote from the science committee, a science committee was assigned the question, did the virus come from animals or could it have come from the lab? He tells us that the science commission voted 6-1 that it came from the lab. And then they were overridden by superiors at the CIA, that higher ups made the decision to override the scientists. We also know that the FBI did vote, and the FBI's conclusion that is public now is that it came from the lab. And also the Department of Energy, which has more scientists than any other agency up here probably, they also concluded that it came from the lab. But we now know that the scientists at the CIA also thought it came from the lab, but were overruled by superiors. There's also much talk and scuttlebutt of Anthony Fauci having repeated meetings that may or may not be on the visitor logs at the CIA. So after 9/11, Anthony Fauci became much bigger than just sort of scientific research. He became in charge of biological weapons, biomedical weapons. He became in charge of so much that his budget went through the roof. But we think that there is a close alliance between him and our intelligence agencies. And we think that we're at the tip of the iceberg as to what we will, what will finally be revealed if we're ever given access to all of this.
You know, President Trump back in 2020 said that the virus came, he's seen the evidence that the virus came from the Wuhan lab. And then when he was asked about this, he said, quote, I can't tell you that. Like, did he see the evidence? What was this? Have you talked to the president about what evidence he may have seen that convinced him at the time that it was from the lab?
I haven't talked to the president specifically about that, but I believe that the evidence he was pointing towards is what Pompeo declassified in January of 2021. So as the Trump administration is leaving, Pompeo declassifies, and these were several cables from Wuhan saying that the lab was not safe and that they weren't up to standards, but also it included some source, and I'm not sure who the source is, that three scientists that worked for Dr. Shi at the lab doing the gain-of-function research at the Wuhan Institute of Virology, that three of the scientists became sick in November 2019. And, you know, if the first people getting sick work in the lab with coronaviruses, creating gain-of-function coronaviruses, you know, that's pretty much a done deal. We actually now know their names as well. The Pompeo report said three scientists from the Wuhan Institute were sick in November, and they say with COVID-like symptoms, because obviously the Chinese, they didn't have a test at that time because it was just, they were the first people to get sick, and they would have tested negative for the first test from SARS-1 from 2003. That would be a negative test, but they have a virus of unknown origin or a pneumonia of unknown origin, so everybody knows what they've got. They've got something that grew out of the lab. They revealed the three people, but then later on, I think Michael Schellenberger and Matt Taibbi in an article about 6 months ago revealed the names. So we actually know the names. One of them was Ben Hugh, H-U, and he was one of the assistants, and he's sort of like the protege of Dr. Zengli, or Dr. Shi Zengli. So we do know that that happened. I think that's what Trump was probably referring to, is that he knew that knowledge, and then it was revealed to the public from Pompeo declassifying it. But this is an argument for declassifying most things. There's no reason. What should be classified, and this is what people don't get, what should be classified is how you got information. You know, if you're a spy and you live in Beijing, we don't want to reveal your name or something. So however we got the information, or if whether we eavesdrop from satellites or communications, how we get it should be secrets. Those are real secrets. But most of the time, I'd say 99% of the time, the information is something the public should know so we can make decisions. And it is a big deal. If the virus came from a lab in Wuhan, it means that labs that do this kind of research in the U.S. could also have the same type of accident. There are labs around the world doing this. It means that if we want to stop another pandemic from occurring, we have to seriously reassess what kind of research we're doing and what kind of research particularly the taxpayer is supporting.
I'll get you out of here on this, Senator, which is our viewers. I know I'm going to hear from them saying, why is Dr. Fauci not indicted? Why is he still walking free? How is it possible that you know, Peter Daszak, these guys, how are they still walking free? How is Dr. Fauci not behind bars?
I hear the same thing. I jokingly say when I return home from Washington each week, my wife greets me at the door, not with a hug or a kiss, but why the hell is Anthony Fauci not in jail yet? So people are frustrated, but they have to understand, I don't control the judicial system. If I were the attorney general, if this was a Republican administration and I were the attorney general, yes, I would have prosecuted Anthony Fauci for a felony for lying to Congress. I've sent two referral letters. It's not that I'm not trying. I sent two criminal referral letters to the Attorney General. I've sent another one this week because we discovered that in his testimony before the HELP Committee in 2022, he said that he had no evidence and had never heard of this diffuse grant, the grant to create the virus in 2018. He said, never heard of it. But we now know that not only was his agency briefed on this, we know that his agency was part of the grant initially. So I don't see how he can have no knowledge of it. And I'll bet you if we were to get his preparatory material that they gave him when they were preparing him for all the knowledge of NIH and NIAID's interaction with Wuhan, it may be in some of that information that they prepped him on, oh, well, you remember we were briefed on the diffuse thing. If that comes forward, you can see how then he's caught in a lie that he can't probably extricate himself from. But they're fighting tooth and nail, and I'm looking for a promise from, you know, the next president that this will all be revealed. And that's a big deal for me as far as me getting enthusiastically behind the Trump campaign is I want to know, is a new President Trump going to appoint people who are not apologists for the pharmaceutical industry, but are actually hardcore enough to say we're going to expose the truth? Every document in NIH, every document in HHS, everything from NIAID will be revealed and that Congress will have full and complete access to that. That would help to get me more on board with being more enthusiastic about a second Trump administration.
Yeah, you and me both. I think we hope that the swamp doesn't get filled back up, but in fact is, you know, is adversarial in that regard, going after these people. Senator Rand Paul, great to see you. Thank you so much. Keep up the great work, as always.
Thanks. Yep. Thanks for having me.
I really hope you enjoyed watching this video. You know, YouTube thinks that you'll actually like this next video right here. It's personalized based on your own viewing habits. So if you watch the video, please leave a comment. Let us know what you think about it. And we will see you next time, everyone.